He is so faithful. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke 16, and we're starting on a new series today. Luke 16 and verse 10. And the series is, what does a tithing heart look like? We're just going to look at some of the aspects of what the heart of a tither looks like. And some of these things are going to be like, oh yeah, I knew that. Other things you may go, oh, I like that. Amen. And when I was praying this morning about what to start with, I felt like the Lord said the first thing that you need to start with is faithfulness. And a lot of times you may not correlate a tither with faithfulness, but there's something that happens when you become a tither, and it actually changes who you are as a person. I've watched people who, before they were tithing, they were like, you couldn't count on them. You'd ask them to be someplace, and they would never show up, or they'd show up late, or, you know, you'd ask them to do something, they wouldn't do it. And then I would watch when they would become a tither, listen to this, they become a tither, that faithfulness to give the first fruits and to give that tenth actually altered who they became as a person. And they became a faithful person. They would show up on time. They'd be faithful with things. When you give them an assignment, they would finish. And it was amazing to me to see this correlation. And I thought, Lord, that's interesting that you would start with faithfulness. But then he reminded me of Luke 16:10. And let's read that. And it says, he who is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in much. And a lot of times we look at finances as a really big thing. But do you know in the kingdom of God, it's the least? He doesn't need finances. Why? His streets are paved with gold. You know what's more important to him? The assignment that he gives you. The job that he gives you to do. The calling that he gives you to do. To work out your salvation before him. There's so many more things. Believing for healing, right? Believing for your kids. These things are so much greater than finances. But see, we've flipped the pendulum upside down. You know the food chart thing that they have where it starts with big, or does it start this way? Anyway, it's the pyramid, you know? And like there's things that we should be eating the least of to the things you eat the most of, right? Well, in Christianity, we've taken the pendulum and we've put money at the top as if that's what God cares about most. But it's not. You actually flip it around, it's what he cares about the least. Actual money is what he cares about the least. But he knows if you can't be faithful with the least, giving your 10%, then there's no way you're going to be faithful with the most at the top that he considers the greatest. Are you listening, church family? So it's not about God wanting your money. No, God wants a faithful heart. And when you teach faithfulness to a child, what do you teach them to do? Do what you said you're going to do. So we are his kids. So he gives us an easy assignment to start out with first. You come to the Lord, you're saved, and he says, okay, now a tenth of everything that you earn, everything that comes in his income is mine. Well, really, it's all his, right? It's all his. We talked about this last week. That's the funny part of it is everything that we have because of him. And you may say, well, I was smart enough to invest. No, he gave you the brains to be smart enough to invest, right? Well, I was talented enough to do this. Well, who gave you your talent? Everything is already his, right? So all he's saying is he doesn't want our 10% because he wants it. He's trying to teach us something. And the first thing that he's saying is he wants you to learn to have a faithful heart. And the people that give faithfully and consistently end up being faithful and consistent people. Because you've been faithful with little, your finances, he says, oh, I can trust you. Okay, now let's talk about lives. Let's talk about people's lives. I can trust you with people's lives because I can trust you with finances. I can give you this ministry because I can trust you with the finances. I know if you'll be faithful here, you're going to be faithful over here. Does that make sense? What does the heart of a tither look like? When you open it up, you're going to see the first thing is faithful. They're faithful. They're faithful to give. I love our kids are just, they're great kids all around, but I love their hearts and their mindsets where tithing is concerned. It doesn't matter if someone gives them a $5 bill. They'll come home and they'll start looking for 50 cents and change. And they don't wait till Sunday. Most of the time, it's in a tithing envelope sitting at my house. Why? Because they have seen God's faithfulness for themselves. And they know if they are faithful. That's why I know God is going to do great things in their lives. Why? Because they are faithful with the thing that is least. So God can trust them over here with the greatest. Amen? And sometimes that is finances, right? Sometimes God does do the great thing, and it is a financial thing because he's learned he can trust you in the little so he can give you the more, but it's because he wants to bless other people through you, right? And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those that he looks at and he scans and he says, oh, Redeemed Church. I can trust Redeemed Church. Oh, I can trust this person and this person and this person because they've proven they are faithful with the little. Amen? But I even want even more than the finances. I want the greater things that God considers great. Amen? So we show him that faithfulness starting with our finances, and then we move to the bigger things. Sorry. It's really dry in here today. I apologize. And if you're wondering if you're struggling with faithfulness, I would say look at your giving. Look at your giving. Ask the Lord, is there something I need to be doing more? Is there something you've called me to do that I didn't do? I love the Lord. He's so faithful with us. You'll be going through a dry season. You're like, God, why aren't things changing? Or why isn't this or why isn't this that? You know, I've been faithful. When you ask him, you need to be prepared. Because he's great, and he's specific. The devil will give you this condemning feeling, not the Lord. He convicts, and he's like a pin drop. He pokes right at that, and he says, remember that right there? And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And he's like, fix it. You know what's awesome? You fix it, pew, the blessings start flowing again. Amen? Because we're faithful. We're faithful with the little, so he can trust us with the much. Amen? All right, grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this new series. And we're going to see what the heart of a tither has in it. And Father, I thank you that you chose to start with faithfulness. And I just ask, Lord, that you would touch each one of us today. God, sometimes we can get into the religious mindset of tithing. And God, sometimes I believe that we miss out. So I pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, Father, if there's things that we need to alter or change, or maybe we've gotten into a rut with our giving. I pray, Father, that you would remind us that the heart behind it is to be faithful. We're being faithful with the little so that you can trust us with the much. So I pray, Father, we would have ears that are open to hear what you're calling, what you're saying to us today. And I pray, Father, when we need to give more or give something different or do an offering or bless someone in our life, God, that we would be quick to respond to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you are touching each of the finances that are here today, the houses that are represented. And I thank you, Father, that you are literally blowing the roof off of our limitations. I thank you, Father, we are not going to be limited any longer. I thank you, Father, you are blessing us to be a blessing. And I pray, Father, as we continue to show our faithfulness, to continue to tithe on what you provide for us, Father, I thank you, Lord, you're going to bring increase and increase and increase, not just in our finances, Father, but in our lives, in our families, in our ministries, in our businesses, in our workplaces, God, that you're going to cause us to flourish because we're going to show you we can be faithful with the least so that you'll bless us with the much that we can be faithful with. And Father, I just praise you, Lord, for anointing every seed that is sown today. Bless it, multiply it 100-fold, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith over our tithes and offerings. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my giving. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life, and use our giving, Father, to get the gospel preached around the world that someone else can be saved, delivered, and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Give God a big shout this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's breakthrough season. Spring reminds us of that. New life. Breakthrough. Somebody say, I'm unstoppable in Jesus. Denise Renner has a book called Unstoppable. And how many know unstoppable is an attitude? It's a faith attitude, right? Amen. Glory to God. How many know the grave couldn't hold our Savior down? And if he overcame that, what else is there? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and get right into this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm starting a new message entitled Heart Condition. I was telling Shelly about this the other day and just feeling stirred about leaning this way. Boy, the planes are flying low today, aren't they? Woo! Glory to God. One landed on the freeway yesterday. Did you hear about that? The little airplane. The runway is over here. Glory to God. But this message entitled Heart Condition, I was feeling stirred about it. And really, sort of the heart of the feeling I was getting from the Lord was to look at our motives. Somebody say motive. In everything we do, really get into looking at the motive. That's, you know, we've sung the song, The Heart of Worship, and it talks about the Lord is looking deeper. Somebody say deeper. Jesus wants to get deeper with us. I was listening to a rabbi yesterday, the Torah portion. I can't remember the rabbi's name, but he kept saying, open your heart in the deepest way to the Torah. I like hearing that. Open your heart. Everybody say, I open my heart in the deepest way to the Lord. Amen. Not in the deepest way to religion or, you know, worries or fears or strifes or issues, but to Jesus. In our foundation text, actually just turn in your Bible to Psalm 139. There's a lot of Bible verses that deal with this. And I just believe God's got something for us in all of this. Amen. But I was even thinking about how, you know, in just not too many recent years, decades ago, people were a lot more apt to just hang out, sit out on the porch, have a cup of lemonade or iced tea, and just talk, right? Life was a lot slower back then. Sundays, nothing was moving hardly outside. You know what I'm saying? And we just live in a society now where 24/7, everybody is go, 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 right? And I believe the Lord just wants us to take time to slow down with him. And if God's not in a hurry, why should we be? Amen? When we visited Colorado Springs and Woodland Park up there with Andrew Womack's ministry, that's one of the first things I noticed was nobody's driving 95 miles an hour out here. Amen? People are just doing the speed limit, going about their business, and it just was refreshing. Hallelujah. But Psalm 139, I'm going to start the first few verses, and we'll get to the foundation text in a moment, but verses 1 through 3. And this is the king, this is the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest king of all time. King David, right? O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Go over to verse 17 and 18 now. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And when you think about this scriptures like that, I mean, just ponder that. I mean, sometimes we just read the Bible and I'm just trying to get through my chapter a day or whatever. And sometimes I believe the Lord just wants us to camp out for a minute, and just that's what the word Selah means. You see that a lot in Psalms. Just chew on that. Think about that. Like when you see a verse like verse 18, or verse 17. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Just think of that. God's thoughts toward you, one person, more than the grains of sand. Do we even believe that? And if so, what is he thinking about? How much I irritate him? Now, Shelley doesn't like walking in the sand unless she has shoes on, because she doesn't like the sand getting into her toes, and she hates that feeling, right? And I think a lot of people have this concept of God that he's irritated with us. And every little grain of sand is an irritation thought that he has toward me. And that's absolutely not true. Every single thought he has toward you is a thought of love, right? The plans he has for our lives, the good things he has for our lives. Amen. And it's important just to remember these things. Because I think a lot of times where the Lord was going with on this with me was, we can live at a very surface level relationship. And it seems like, you look at, now social media is not all bad, but you know, what is the phrase now where they have short video, right? It's like 10 seconds of something. And it almost trains our brain to be thinking of, all I have time for with you is about 10 seconds or 15 seconds, and then I got to move on. Hi, how you doing? I'm good to see you. Bye. Got to go. Right? God's looking for something deeper with us than that type of relationship. Amen. Somebody say deeper. Deeper, deeper, and deeper still. Deep calls to deep, the Bible says. I'm in a business networking group, and there's some great people in there, but it's very surface level relationships for the most part. And I just kind of decided I'm just gonna treat everybody the way they treat me. If all you want is a hello and how you doing and pat on the back and surface level, you know, then there you go. And I believe the Lord is the same way. If all I want from him is a surface level, hi, how you doing, praise your name, I got to go to work. But how many know there's more? There's more with him. And I believe he's calling us to deeper places in our fellowship with him. Hallelujah. And in our motives, right? And that, the foundation text that I settled on for this whole teaching is going to be verse 23, really 24 too, but especially verse 23. God bless King David, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, right? And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think that's a big reason why so many prefer surface level relationships, because I don't want to reveal what's in my heart or, you know, the motive behind. Amen. And it's not always, church, not just about the time we spend with him, right? I know people that I can tell you their names right now, and there's an older kid, an adult kid, that all of a sudden has been on the streets, whacked out, and all of a sudden realized how much they miss mom and dad, and have moved back into the house and act like man, I've just missed you so much. Somebody say baloney. So it's not about the time, necessarily, is it? What's the motive there? Money. What can I get from you now that I don't have anything myself and I've been doing crazy things and, right? So it's not just about spending 17 hours a day in prayer and fasting and in the Word of God. It's about, somebody say, it's about quality. And where's my heart really? Right? Why is Steve pastoring a church? Why does Steve do that? You know, whatever it is that you're doing. Why am I going to work every day? Why am I married? Why am I a dad? What's really behind it all, right? Why do I vote? Why am I an American? Get to the motive. Somebody say, get to the motive. And that's why I love, especially if you're, you know, somebody God is going to use in a place of leadership. But how many know we are all leading somebody? If you're a spouse or if you're a parent or an employee or a business owner, we've all got to be asking this question that King David, one of the greatest leaders of all time, said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Right? Try me. Know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I looked up some of these words in the concordance on the Blue Letter Bible app. So the word search, somebody say search. I've been watching a lot, you know, I've been talking about this, watching some of the old Star Treks. And they're out there searching for new life forms and all these kind of things, right? And they're corny, but there's some funny stories in there, and they're, you know. But it means to search for, to search through, to explore. The other day, you know, my brother Vance went to heaven, and a couple weeks ago, and we were going through his apartment, and, you know, he has movies and DVDs and all kinds of stuff, and we looked under his bed and we found a tithe envelope stuffed with money and labeled. It's like, Vance, he has, you know, tithes he's hiding in his house, right? I mean, that's a good thing to find. And so, but what if God uncovered my heart, what would be in there? Hallelujah, right? To explore. Examine thoroughly. Now, how many know when God examines thoroughly, it's going to be thorough? I had a doctor once. I actually switched doctors because the doctor that I had, I felt like he was way too thorough. I mean, old school physicals. How many know what I'm talking about? But I'll tell you what, I felt confident after I left his office that he knew everything. Examine me thoroughly, right? To be searched out, to be found out. Be examined, to search out, to seek out. I mean, these are amazing words to ponder. Search me, O God, and know. The word know means to find out and discern, to perceive and see. To be made known, to become known, to be revealed, to make oneself known, to reveal oneself. This is why I picked this, I found this image of the hand of Jesus in a lump of coal and a diamond. And there was a quote in there on another picture. It wasn't Jesus' hand, but it said all a diamond is a lump of coal that could take the pressure. Right? But when I was 20 years old, I went to Azusa Pacific University for a year, and I went through some tough stuff emotionally, just character, you know, things God was doing in my soul that I was not comfortable with. And I wanted out of it. But he gave me this image of his, like my heart was a lump of coal and Jesus' hands were like this. And he was like, "You're not getting out of this. No matter what you pray, your faith, whatever you want to do, this is me applying this pressure to you. Because I'm making a diamond. Right? That's what we're talking about here. Are you willing to endure the pressure, not from the world, not from the devil, but from God himself, saying, hey, we're going to turn this lump of coal into a diamond. And yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable, but you're just going to have to allow me to do this. Hallelujah. Too many believers nowadays just want to cut and run and quit and evacuate when all they had to do was trust God. That was a big word back then too. And today, trust me, he would tell me. You can't get out of this. I mean, I could have shrugged it off and just left and, you know, there was one of my friends, we decided to both have a bad attitude. We're in a Christian college, you know. This guy's nickname was Petra, the rock band. He loved Petra, right? And him and I one day decided just to, you know what, forget this whole Christian thing. Yeah, right. Let's just go be us. So we went to this party. It was a Christian party, right? And nobody was drinking or doing anything, but we just kind of had an attitude, you know, about us. And then after that, we got back to the dorm, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, we can't do this. We're just going to have to deal with it. We're born again, we're believers, but we're not going to quit, throw in the towel, have an attitude. We're just going to have to stick this thing out. Glory to God. Christians need to have more backbone and ability to stick it out with God. Amen. Because there's a lot of pressure that the world puts on, the devil puts on, whatever, our own issues put on. And some things, though, are God himself just saying, I'm changing you. You're just going to have to endure this. And I put it in you already to endure this. You're just going to have to trust me. Trust me. Somebody say, trust me. Hallelujah. So, to find out, to discern, to perceive and see, to be made known, become known, to be revealed, to make oneself known, reveal oneself. I mean, the Lord may show things to you about you that he needs you to help change. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. The word try means to scrutinize. Now, who loves that? Who just loves scrutiny, right? Scrutinize me, to test me, to make a trial. Oh, Jesus is just so loving and gentle, kind, compassionate. No, he's the one that can take a lump of coal and turn it into a diamond. If we will allow him to. Because you don't have to. None of us have to. We can just live very surface level lives with him and go to heaven someday. We just won't be much use to him here. And I couldn't bear the thought of not being much use to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. Now listen to this word for thoughts. Disquieting thoughts. Right? This is what it means. Disquieting thoughts, anxious doubts, secrets. Things in our heart that maybe we are, there's some shame there, some things we're not happy with about our own selves in the past, or anxieties, disquieting thoughts. We're not talking about the peace of God here. We're talking about issues in our own souls that he's going to bring to the surface, not for the whole world to know. Good Lord, right? The whole world doesn't need to know everything. But he's going to bring some things to the surface and apply pressure, because the lump of coal is becoming a diamond. Hallelujah. Amen. And why do you, and maybe here's the thing is, why do you want to be a diamond? What's the motive there, right? To show off? To look down on the coals? No, because it pleases the Lord, because we love the Lord, right? Because we want to be something that gives him glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. By the way, when we're dealing, because I'll tell you, I was having a lot of disquieting thoughts in those days. And those things don't just go away, right? We got to take authority over those things and bring them to God and bring them to God and bring them to God. Anxieties and doubts, secrets of our own hearts. We got to keep bringing them to Jesus. He told me in those days, don't hide your pain from me. Right? Because especially, you know, in faith circles, confession, possession, victory. And Jesus is like, yeah, but I want to get that infection out of you, son. Bring me the infection. You don't got to tell Oprah about it. Or, you know, all your Facebook followers. None of their business. Somebody say, none of their business. If you want to be free, how many know if you want to be free or you want sympathy? Two different things. Amen. Right? There's a lot of coal support groups. We're all just lumps of coal. We're happy to be lumps of coal. We have books about being good lumps of coal. Right? Join the lump of coal chat. Join the lump of coal social media group. And just be proud that God will use you anyway. Coal burns, brother. Coal burns. You could have sympathy or you could have freedom in Christ, right? But all lumps of coal are disobedient Christians. Can I just say it? All lumps of coal are fleshy Christians who are offended at somebody or just make excuses about their issues and happy to do it. And I'll get to heaven soon. And they will. But we don't, somebody say, I don't have to settle for that. I don't, but I'm going to have to endure the pressure. Oh, hallelujah. I love Pastor Huck's personality. And one of the times he came up to Portland to visit and we were all saying goodbye. And he said, Steve, it was just such a pressure being with you today. Oh, somebody say, keep laughing, keep smiling, keep praising. Keep the praises going. The pressure is not something that's going to last forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So bring him your disquieting thoughts, your anxious doubts, your secrets. Somebody say, bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus daily. Hallelujah. And be free of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Jeremiah 17, 10 says this. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. This is the New Living Translation. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Right? I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Motive. Somebody say, it's about motive with the Lord. Even just down to, why am I in church today? Am I just here to fulfill my religious obligation and, you know, so I don't feel guilty all week? Right? Or am I here because I love the Lord with all my heart and want to worship him and give him praise and pray and intercede and, you know, all of it. It's just good to be motive-minded. The Holy Spirit helps us, doesn't he, with this? But look at Hebrews 4:12 before. We're going to go to Matthew 13 in a moment. But Hebrews 4:12 says this. For the word of God, somebody say the word of God, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Somebody say, stay in the word. Stay in the word of God every day. Not just a hearer only, but actually a doer of the word. The word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. Praise God for his holy word. Look at Matthew 13. You can actually turn there if you want, because we're going to read a kind of close it up in this chapter today. But this is the story of the parable of the sower. And I really like it. I was drawn to this because it really illustrates three different hearts. Three different types of hearts. Another thing the Lord showed me, you know, in that same time period was toward the end, when I knew when I was through, right? And he gave me this vision of this, like, farmland, but it was just dirt, but the dirt was freshly plowed. And there were like black clouds, and it was blue right at the top of me with these black clouds off in the distance. Like, this just came through, and now this soil is ready to be planted in, right? God's looking for soil he can plant in. Any farmer is, right? And it takes work to develop the soil, doesn't it, right? Busting it up, and I mean, I don't know all the work that goes into preparing a field to plant in. But you can't just throw seed on cement. I mean, I looked at my sidewalk. My sidewalk has things growing out of it. Right? But it's not nothing I'm going to eat, and it's certainly nothing plentiful. Right? Because it's hard ground, hard and dry. Amen? But here we go. Jesus is speaking, and this is Matthew 13. We'll read about through 23, I think. So it says, on the same day Jesus went out. By the way, let's just stop right there. You know, the Lord always has done this with me. I'll start reading something and he stops me in the first. Somebody say, on the same day. So let me ask you this. When you hear something from the Lord, when should you do it? On the same day, right? If he asks me to do something, to change something, to repent, it's not like, oh, thank you, I'll think about that when I'm done with this. No. Somebody say, on the same day. We'll do that today, Lord, with your help, right? On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered together to him. There you go. Why? What was their motive in gathering together to Jesus? Was it to see a show, like a circus? Remember Herod? Herod wanted to see Jesus. Remember, he was delighted. Pilate needed to send Jesus to Herod. Yes. Why? Because he wanted to get saved? No. He wanted to see a miracle. I'm sorry, I get goofy. Herod was goofy, man. He was sick, man. Now Jesus died for him too, but he was crazy. And he was delighted to see Jesus. But his motive was as dark as sin, man. Amen, right? Here it says, great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, this is an amazing thought. You know, back then, they didn't have sound systems. But I believe Jesus and John the Baptist and some of these other prophets probably had booming voices. But I was doing a house the other day in the pest control business on Lacamas Lake. Not the other day. This was actually last summer. Sort of the other day, I guess, right? But I was on the deck doing something, and I could hear people talking on their, they were like those little paddle boats, and I could hear them talk, and they're like, gosh, probably 200 yards, soft little voices, but I could hear what they were saying because the water just amplifies the voices. So Jesus, when he went and sat on the water, there was a reason to that. He wanted people to hear what he was about to say, right? Amen. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. See, we're talking about hearts here, right? So some people's hearts are wayside hearts. The seeds just bounce off, they're so hard. And the birds, the come and eat them, demons come and just eat them up. Instantly forgotten. That is a scary place to be in life. Amen. Some fell on stony places. They did not have much earth, right? And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Somebody say no depth. Shallow, right? But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others, somebody say others, fell on good ground. This is a good reason just to always be ready to witness, to share your faith, because you don't know where people are. You'd be surprised how many people, you'd be stony or hard as a rock, and they turn out to be good ground. And others that seem like, they sure look like they'd be receptive and hard as a rock. You don't know. So when you're peppering the word, your testimony, sharing your faith, just let the word, somebody say, let the word do the work. Let the word do the work, right? Others, verse 8, fell on good ground. Somebody say, that's me, right? And yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and there will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. What's he talking about? He's talking about motive. Right? And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Do you ever notice, maybe you've encountered people like this in your life. How do you not see this? Right? There's even people like politicians, some of them, and it's like, how do you not get good? This is good, that's evil. This is life, that's death. This is hell, this is heaven, that's hell. How do you not get that? It's so simple. But they're blinded and deaf to it. It's amazing. Right? And a lot of people, that's just where they're living. That's why we're intercessors. And we preach the word anyway, right? And we don't allow it to change us. How do you live in a world that seems so dark and hard to God and not get dark and hard yourself? Somebody say, stay in love with him. Stay in love with Jesus. And remember, there are more for us than against us. It's one of the devil's oldest tricks to make us think we're all alone. There's nobody like us. Pity party. Our motive is not pity party. Hallelujah, right? Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I told this to some the business people that I associate with. And I said, you know, I'm a preacher. Y'all can just log on to redeemed-church.org and hear what I really think. Or I've got a YouTube channel that you can just hear me sing songs. Just silly stuff. It's funny. You'll like it. Maybe this won't offend you, but maybe it'll warm your heart up a little bit to maybe hear this later. Hallelujah, right? Glory to God. The Lord gives us some ways to connect with people that maybe they're not ready for a direct encounter with Jesus, right? How many people got reasons why they don't like Christians or don't like church or don't like the Bible or just don't care about it much, but yet they know you? I've had people tell me that before. It's like, you know what? I've never met a Christian quite like you. It's like, yeah, you should meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn that I should heal them. Amen. Doesn't mean Jesus is not ready to heal them and receive them at all. Somebody say, you keep preaching the word. That's why we sow into ministries that are out there preaching the gospel around the world. I heard the other day that Mario Murillo is coming to Oregon. He's in California, but he does crusades around, and I heard on a broadcast. What's the broadcast? There's a new broadcast with Greg Stevens called Unclassified. Very good broadcast. And Mario was on there with Lance Wallnau, and they were talking about awesome things God is doing in our country and what we're praying for, and Mario's coming to Oregon. I'm going to look it up and find out where. I have a feeling I know, because I know him or his ministry. He doesn't go to the backwoods. He comes right to where the devil has set up shop. So that would be fun to participate in, I believe, right? But Jesus, this isn't saying don't preach to people, just let them burn. Not at all. Not at all. But the fact is, a lot of people's hearts are hard and their eyes are blind and their ears are stopped. But somebody say, preach anyway. Don't let that affect you. Hallelujah. Amen. Or don't let it infect you either, right? Amen. Faith is infectious too. Hallelujah, right? Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. What we have to watch as believers is that we're not deaf and blind to certain aspects of the Word of God. You know what I mean? We've received the salvation. We've received Jesus. But don't talk to me about this thing over here because I don't want to deal with that. Somebody say, that's where he's going. That's where he's going. Those places that maybe we're not comfortable dealing with or looking at, he's going to expose it to us and help us to get to be more Christ-like, right? To become a diamond. Hallelujah. How many know I want every ounce of coal removed from my heart? Hallelujah, right? Amen. It's okay to say amen right there. Right? Hallelujah. Verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone, somebody say anyone, see, so he's not excluding anyone. If he's including everyone, then he's not excluding anyone, right? If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Somebody say in his heart. This is why we have to guard the gates of our heart, right? We may come back to that in another message, but guarding the ears, the eyes, right? What we're looking at, what we're reading, what we're listening to, we have to be on guard all the time. Thoughts that come to us, right? That's why we have the armor of God, the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the devil, right? What are the fiery darts? Well, we just disquieting thoughts. Anxious doubts. Hallelujah, right? Somebody say, guard your heart, right? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, verse 19, the wicked one, somebody say the wicked one. This isn't God doing this. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, see now they did receive the seed. They all did. This one did too, right? He is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When tribulation, persecution arises, somebody say pressure, right? Because of the word, immediately he stumbles. That's an amazing thought. It's true. I think we've all either been this person or known someone like that, that all was excited about Jesus, and then they just, for whatever reason, something got tough and they left, went back to their old life. We got to pray these people back in, amen? Verse 22, now he who received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. That's not a anti-prosperity thing. That's just saying don't love money. We love God, right? Like Shelley said, money's not the top of the pyramid, right? Amen, right? I've seen it where people either come to church and their motive is someone's going to give me money, right? Or they leave church because their motive is, well, I got blessed. Now I don't need money anymore. I can go work on Sunday. It's a motive thing. Hallelujah. Somebody say money is a tool. It's my tool to build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 22, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, right? And indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Somebody say, that's me, in Jesus' name. We hear the word, we understand the word, and in the name of Jesus, we produce for God. Hallelujah. We'll stop right there for today. Let's all just stand up on our feet this morning. Hallelujah. And let's just do an act of faith today. Let's just surrender our hearts to the Lord. Amen. I believe everyone in this room was born again, but just say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I give you my entire heart. Anywhere, if there's any darkness anywhere residing in my soul and areas of my heart that I have not surrendered over to you, any areas where my motives are off, Holy Spirit, I just submit it to you. I say just what David said, search me and know me and try me. I lay it all down at your feet, Lord. I surrender it all. I bring any anxieties to you, any doubts, any thoughts that rob me of peace, any secrets of my heart that just need to be turned over to you. I bring it all to you. In Jesus' mighty name. And I trust you with all my heart. Somebody say, with all my heart, I trust you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.